I have entitled this series of reflections, which I begin now, The Woman of the Yes, Mary in the words of Pope Benedict XVI. It is always very salutary and always very important for us to reflect upon the words, the writings, of the successor of Peter. For as we know, this successor of Peter, the Holy Father, enjoys a very special gift, a very special protection of the Holy Spirit. Not that every word that comes out of his mouth is of equal weight, but we know that when he speaks on faith and morals, it is a matter to which all Catholics must lend their ear and look to root in their hearts, to put into effect with their whole lives. For when the successor of Peter pronounces on faith and morals, he is drawing from the wellspring of the deposit of faith, which, thanks to the action of the Holy Spirit within the Church, has been preserved whole and entire to the present day. Now we have at the helm someone who we can regard as one of the great theologians of our day. There's always very much to ponder in the writings, in the words of this pontiff. Indeed, even before he became pope, there was much to ponder on whatever he wrote about, even though before he became pope, of course, his words didn't carry quite the same weight, magisterial weight. And as a theologian, before he became pope, he was entitled to evolve, let us say, if I am permitted to borrow a word that is now being all too commonly used today in inappropriate circumstances. This is exactly what has happened to this theologian, this cardinal, before he became pope, is that over the course of the decades, his thought matured. We can say at the behest, placing himself at the feet of our Lord. Having someone in the chair of Peter who knows what went on 50 years ago at the Second Vatican Council is most valuable to us today, because we know someone who knew what went on before, during, and after the council. And although his perception, as he himself admits, has changed over the years, he's in a unique position. Not only is someone who has observed these things, there are of course many still living who have observed those days before, during, and after, but now someone who has taken those experiences, someone who is enlightened in a special way by the Holy Spirit and who can pass on that faith to us in a very unique way. While the deposit of faith has been passed on whole and entire to us, the way that that is presented to us is not the same, it was not the same in the way that it was presented 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and so on. Because the Holy Spirit is alive and acting in the Church. So we can't just simply turn back the clock if we are dissatisfied with everything that we're going on around today and decide we have to return to the past. The Holy Spirit is not someone who acts only in certain periods and not in others. But of course, we have to avoid the opposite extreme, because we draw upon that tremendous patrimony of faith, that treasure that has been given to us. And you have both one and the other. You have that tremendous patrimony that is interpreted in a way for us today to enable us in our particular circumstances in the here and now, to live in the here and now, to do what the Mother of God did 2,000 years ago, to say yes. If we examine the words of Pope Benedict XVI, we find that he continually returns to this theme of Mary's yes. I haven't counted the number of times that he's actually had recourse to this theme during the course of his pontificate, but rest assured it is quite often. So what is the reason that he has recourse in particular to this more than a fact? When we speak of the yes of Our Lady, we are in the first place talking about that moment at the Annunciation when she opened her heart to receive our Lord in her womb. But at second glance, we're talking about more than a moment. We're talking about the fact that the life of this woman is one continual yes from the first moment of her existence through Calvary until she passed from this life and was assumed into heaven. Pope Benedict and the popes before this one have continually drawn our attention to this woman. And it may be, for example, that this pope is not as voluminous in his words about Our Blessed Lady, let's say, than Pope John Paul II. Blessed John Paul II is incomparable in this regard. But it doesn't mean that this pope doesn't have certain things to say, very important things to say about Our Lady. And he may not have proclaimed a new dogma about Our Lady, but it doesn't mean that in certain key things he says about Our Lady, he says some very profound things, and he repeats, he brings back before our eyes the truth about who this woman is. And why is it that we need to focus on the truth of who this woman is? Why does this pope and previous popes, particularly in the last 120 years or so, why have they had ever more frequent recourse to reflections on Our Lady? Why have they felt it more and more necessary to place her before our eyes, the truth about who she is? Because if we don't understand the truth of who she is, we will not understand the truth of who we are. We'll go into an identity crisis. I think the reading that was proclaimed today is very apropos to the subject at hand. I rejoiced greatly, it says in the second letter of St. John, to find some of your children walking in the truth. Later on it says, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Look to yourselves that you do not lose what we worked for, but may receive a full recompense. The history of the church is marked with vociferous efforts to deny Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh and strenuous efforts on the part of the saints to defend, preserve, protect these truths so that they indeed could be handed down to us whole and entire. And they were able to do so by having recourse, by pondering the truth of the one who is the mother of the church. For if the woman, the young virgin at Nazareth, doesn't say yes, there is no church to speak of. She's not mother only of the head, but of the mystical body of Christ. If you reject your mother, earthly mother, I mean, if you ignore her, if you put her aside, separate yourself from her, what happens? You begin to become confused about who you are. And this is what has happened in contemporary times. There is a profound identity crisis that is the result of taking our eyes off the truth of who this woman is and what she has done and what she continues to do. Not that the magisterium of the church has stopped proclaiming this, but hardly anybody wants to pay attention. Hardly anybody is interested. Or much worse, they want to reject this fountain of truth. And when they do so, they individually are thrown into an identity crisis. And when it happens to members of the church undergoes tremendous upheaval, and the consequences on the whole of society are not lacking. Forget about separation of church and state in this realm. When Catholics forget or choose to ignore this fundamental truth, all of society is thrown into upheaval. The separation of church and state is not respected in this regard. What was true in times past in this regard is just as true today as we are bitterly coming to realization of. This is why any solution entails turning our eyes back to this fundamental truth, or the upheaval will not only not cease, but it will continue to grow worse and worse. And mind you, I'm speaking just even within the church. I say that if on all levels the truth of who Our Lady is and what she has done and continues to do is not placed before the eyes of all Catholics, placed before their hearts in a much more profound way than is currently happening, the chaos will be never-ending. Our Lady of Fatima may well have said, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." But she didn't promise that you and I will share in that triumph. You and I will share in that triumph If we do the right things, if we do what she tells us to do, if we recognize her for who she is, this is what Vatican II reminds us of, what the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us of, what the popes have been trying to tell us in various ways. Now, about 25 or so years ago, Cardinal Ratzinger, then Cardinal Ratzinger, gave a certain interview speaking on a variety of topics, but also Our Lady. Here's what he said a little over 25 years ago. So this was the 1980s. As a young theologian in the time before and also during the council, I had, as many did then and still do today, some reservations in regard to certain ancient formulas, as, for example, that famous De Maria Numquam Satis, that is, concerning Mary, one can never say enough, a saying that has come down to us from the medieval period. It seemed exaggerated to me, he continues. So it was difficult for me later to understand the true meaning of another famous expression current in the Church since the first centuries when, after a memorable dispute, the Council of Ephesus in 431 had proclaimed Mary Theotokos, Mother of God. The declaration, namely, that designated the Virgin as the conqueror of all heresies. Now, in this confused period where truly every type of heretical aberration seems to be pressing upon the doors of the authentic faith, now I understand that it was not a matter of pious exaggerations, but of truths that today are more valid than ever. It is necessary to go back to Mary if we want to return to that truth about Jesus Christ, truth about the Church, and the truth about man that John Paul II proposed as a program to the whole of Christianity. We must return to this. And that is perhaps the reason why the discourses of Pope Benedict on Our Lady are marked with such simplicity. And why he is putting before the eyes of Catholic Christians and before the eyes of the whole world right now this woman of faith, the woman of the yes. He's inviting us to rediscover her. And we must hold it absolutely necessary that the members of the mystical body of Christ in the here and now rediscover this woman of the yes, who she really is, take her as our mother, as Jesus himself wills, and with our whole lives be transformed so that the chaos, both within the Church and in society, will find peace again under the mantle of Our Lady. If the Church does not find its identity apart from Mary, it follows that it is absolutely necessary, this program. Let not the way that Pope Benedict expresses himself fool you into thinking that he's any less concerned about our becoming Marian than Pope John Paul II or any of the popes before him. Let his words speak to us today. Let us accept the invitation of Our Lady herself to carry forward her banner, to let her yes permeate every fiber of our being, so that when Our Lady says, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph," it will mean something personal to us that we will share in that triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And that triumph will resound not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of all the faithful and in the hearts of the inhabitants of the entire world. Praise be Jesus and Mary.